Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
From pop culture to politics, this is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, a great nation addressing a great question. Where did the COVID-19 virus come from? The White House acknowledged today that intelligence experts were split as to whether it came directly from animal transition or whether somehow that virus was leaked out of a laboratory in Wuhan, China. If they do determine, and the Biden administration has said that they will be looking into it, even Dr. Fauci has commented that there may be reason to believe it came from a laboratory. Now, if they find out that it did come from a laboratory and that was hidden and obscured and lied about by the Chinese communist regime, what does that mean? What happens then? To answer those questions, absolutely no better in the country, no one better in the country than Gordon G. Chang to talk to. He is the author of The Coming Collapse of China and most recently The Great U.S.-China Tech War. You can reach him at his Twitter account. It's at Gordon G. Chang on Twitter. Gordon, what about this? What is your best guess as to whether we will ever actually know the source of the COVID-19 virus?
It may take a long time, Michael, and it may only be after the Communist Party falls. But we might know earlier, because the Chinese people are actually telling us some things about what are happening. But, you know, we need to be clear. I know that the scientific community overwhelmingly says that this was a zoonotic transfer from a bat to an intermediary mammal to a human. But despite more than a year of intensive efforts, no one has been able to locate the reservoir of the disease. No one has been able to document the transmission links. But we do know a lot about a lab leak. So the balance of probability says that this actually was a virus that somehow escaped from the Wuhan Institute of Virology.
There's no indication that this was a deliberate release, is there?
I don't think that it was. Now, the people who say that it was are basically people who lived in the People's Republic now or have been, because I think they understand the maliciousness of the communist regime, but I don't think so. But, you know, it almost doesn't matter where this came from and whether it was an accidental or deliberate release. We know one thing, Michael, and that is that Xi Jinping, the Chinese ruler, took steps in December 2019 and January 2020 to release this virus beyond China's borders. He lied about contagiousness. He was pressuring countries not to impose travel restrictions and quarantines on arrivals from China when he was locking down his own country. And you put those two things together, and the conclusion is inescapable. That however this disease started, and still we don't know that yet, but however this disease started, Xi Jinping deliberately spread this to other countries.
Okay, there's apparently a news story about China falling out of love with Dr. Anthony Fauci, and the opinion piece by the editor-in-chief of the state-run Global Times said U.S. elites degenerate further in morality, and Fauci is one of them. Fanning a huge lie against China by hyping the theory that the coronavirus was leaked from a Wuhan lab. Another article in the Global Times declared that Fauci had betrayed Chinese scientists. Should Dr. Fauci be concerned about getting all kinds of negative propaganda from the People's Republic?
I don't think so. I think Fauci should be concerned by Americans asking a question. That question is, why did his Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases issue a grant that was eventually used for gain-of-function research at the Wuhan Institute of Virology? And why didn't Fauci admit this when he was grilled by Rand Paul a week ago? Because what we know is, whatever the purpose for that grant was, that it was actually used for gain-of-function research, which is essentially biological weapons research, because papers have been issued which showed that the coronavirus research that he funded, they were using gain-of-function techniques. So even if Fauci didn't know that was going to happen, he had to know that's what in fact happened. And I think he had an obligation talking to Congress to mention it. His only out, the only reason why he didn't commit perjury is because Rand Paul can't ask a question straight. But apart from that, Fauci, I think, owes the American public an explanation.
Okay, in terms of that explanation, whether it's coming forward or not, if a Chinese culpability is ultimately acknowledged concerning the handling of the virus and concerning the severity of what is it now going on to 700,000 Americans who may end up dying from this disease. If all of that can be pinned back on China, is that going to have an impact on our bilateral relationship? Should it have an impact on our bilateral relationship?
Yeah, of course it should have an impact, and it means that we shouldn't have a bilateral relationship going forward, because as of today, they've killed about 591,000 Americans, and as I mentioned, this was deliberate. I think the Biden administration is determined not to find out. We just heard that they stopped a State Department investigation into the lab leak. They are now relying on the World Health Organization for another mission to China. And by the way, there should be a baseball rule of disease investigation. And by that I mean three strikes and you're out. There have been three WHO missions to Wuhan since this disease surfaced, and each of them was a whitewash.
Okay, and obviously we can do better. To your knowledge, is there anyone within the administration who is talking about a more appropriate, constructive response?
If there is, I haven't heard from him or her, and okay, that's really unfortunate.
Okay, there's a bigger thing going on which has not gotten a lot of attention in the United States, which is the glorious 100-year anniversary of the Chinese Communist Party, which was founded 100 years ago. And they are planning all kinds of celebrations at home and a huge outburst of propaganda and a tremendous surge in patriotism and pride about the glorious and global achievements of the Chinese Communist Party. What do you say to people who say, ah, yeah, they killed a bunch of people and they're tyrannical, but look at the improvement of the standard of living? China in July of 1921 was dominated by warlords. It was overwhelmingly poor. It had no power on the international stage. Can the communists in China rightly claim credit for improving things for the Chinese people?
Great question, and I think the answer is no, because although, you know, China right now does look powerful, remember that its growth rates are actually lagging behind those of Taiwan, South Korea, and Japan. And Taiwan, South Korea, and Japan did not kill somewhere between 30 to 70 million people to obtain prosperity. So I think it's a very difficult story for Beijing to maintain when all of history is actually talked about. Because, you know, China right now, although Xi Jinping really admires Mao, he basically just talks about history post-Cultural Revolution, post-Mao, where you have China's advances. But let's remember what you say to people is, look, China's now killed 3.5 million people within the space of about 18 months. And eventually there's got to be a reckoning for that, because this is mass murder. And we cannot allow that regime to continue this, because we know they're working on even more dangerous pathogens than COVID-19. And the next disease from China could be a civilization killer. In other words, we know they're working on bugs that would leave the Chinese immune and sicken or kill everybody else. That might leave China as the only viable society. So we got to start defending ourselves, because if we don't, Michael, we could lose our country.
Gordon G. Chang. You can connect with him on Twitter at Gordon G. Chang on Twitter. He's the author of The Coming Collapse of China, Let Us Hope, and The Great U.S.-China Tech War. coming back more on America's status as the world's leading nation. To put it simply, materialism is the attempt to prove that human beings are merely meat in motion, and that we have no free will, that we have no souls, that morality and religion are simply evolutionary artifacts programmed by nature for survival, and that our very thoughts and ideas can be fully explained by our brain chemistry. Darwin's theory of evolution made scientific atheism credible by offering a scientific explanation on how human beings could be generated through a blind process of random variation and natural selection. At discovery.org/Medved, you can get a free mini book, free, Darwin's Three Big Ideas That Impacted Humanity. It explores how three key concepts from Darwin undermine morality, religion, medicine, the criminal justice system, and the value of human life. Get your free book at discovery.org/Medved. That's discovery.org/Medved. Small investors shamed Wall Street by running the price of certain stocks way up to the detriment of big hedge funds, social media, and trading platforms, then kept investors from buying stock. A financial war is being waged in America. With all this volatility, now's an even better time to protect your net worth and own precious metals as part of your portfolio. Nick Rovich, who's the owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, has always been fair and honest with my precious metals holdings, and now, more than ever, it's a good time to own tangible assets like gold, silver, and platinum. AmFed can show you smart choices, which have been proven winners time and time again. Call Nick and his team at AmFed today, 800-221-7694. That's 800-221-7694, or visit AmericanFederal.com.
If you feel America is facing more dangers than ever, you're right. Things are falling apart, it seems, every day. That's why you need to prepare for more of the unexpected, especially food shortages. When people panic, grocery stores run out of food fast. Would you survive without food for days, weeks, even months? The smart folks are buying emergency food now. Take a moment to shop MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's leader in preparedness. With over a dozen years' experience, My Patriot Supply has earned over 40,000 four-star and five-star reviews. Our delicious, calorie-rich food averages 2,000 calories per day and lasts in storage up to 25 years, so it's there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a kit or two, and we'll ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait for something bad to happen again. Rather, be more self-reliant and prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer: excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Michael Medved show, a bunch of emails that came in, and we've picked the very, very best of them that are most worthy of some kind of a response, and I hope a very direct response. Here's one that came from Dave in Everett, Washington, and he says, I've listened for years, so I know your admiration for America, your pathetic patriotism and obnoxious opinion that our nation is a place of perfection. By the way, never, ever, ever claimed that. There is no place of perfection in this fallen world. He goes on. Here's a couple challenges. Simply, we know you love the U.S., but can you provide an example or two of something you hate about our nation? Or are you too blinded by your adoration for and addiction to America? I can't really think of anything that I hate about America. There are many things about America where the country falls short. We were talking about public schools before. I think public schools are worse than they were 50 years ago and can be greatly improved. However, the way that my mind works, Dave, and I'll tell you very truthfully, the idea of hating something or some attribute, let's say you're in a good and functional marriage. And maybe there might be, not in my case, not with Diane, but let's say even if you're in a good and functional marriage and there's something that bothers you about your partner, you don't hate that. You try to address it, maybe subtly, maybe you never address it. But that doesn't lead to hatred. It may lead to a desire to improve. And I think that's true with America. I don't think there's anything about this country that is profoundly hateful. I'll tell you one thing that I am close to believing that I won't even qualify it. I believe that we right now have a really seriously messed up presidential election system. I think we need very directly and very immediately to do something about the fact that the Electoral College system, as it's currently structured, is too complicated. It is not democratic. It's not transparent. It distorts our elections. And most of all, our presidential elections go on for just too darn long. We have to change the way we nominate our candidates. And I think that what we should do is move in the Electoral College from the system we have now, where it's winner-take-all in 48 of the 50 states, to going the way that Nebraska and Maine do, where if you win a statewide, you get the two seats that are allotted because of your two senators. And other than that, if you win a congressional district, you get a seat from that congressional district. In any event, that's one thing that I would definitely improve. Secondly, says David Everett, putting aside your petty patriotic pride and nonsensical nationalism, he seems to be very addicted to alliteration, he does. Your nonsensical nationalism about living in the greatest nation, don't you think every citizen in other developed countries strongly believe that theirs is the best? No, actually I don't. Why is our nation greatest? Why the need to be the biggest and best in the world? And why must we always be better than neighboring nations? Let's apply a little humility. Let's not lust after leading the world, he writes, in everything, and let's settle for second place instead of always defeating others for first prize. I'll keep listening and probably won't like your response. Well, I can't speak to that. I appreciate you're still listening, Dave, and I hope you're listening right now. But look, what makes America the greatest? We are the most consequential. We've had the most influence. And I want to make that very, very clear. There is no other nation in the world that has had such a vast impact on changing the political system around the world of many other countries, rescuing the world from communist totalitarianism, most recently from fascism and Japanese militarism in World War II, and even rescuing the world from the slaughter that was going on in World War I, which came to an end largely because of America's involvement, even though I think you can question our involvement in World War I. But the point over here, Dave, is other nations recognize this. And if you look at the amount of struggle in which we've been involved, without permanently seizing territory, I mean, even if you look at the Spanish-American War, one of the things we won in the Spanish-American War were the Philippines. And then we fought to try to stand up democracy in the Philippines in a bloody and awful war. 4,000 Americans died. And the Philippines are an independent nation. We didn't occupy other nations for conquest. We never have. And that's not true of the United States. The other thing that he says about other nations would all claim to be the best. There are very few nations that could claim to be similarly consequential. And the other aspect of the United States is our revolution is so different. Every other major revolution in the world, French Revolution, Chinese Revolution, we're just talking about the Chinese Communist Party, Russian Revolution, they've all ended in disaster, and they've all been short-lived. The Russian Revolution basically installed a semi-democratic regime with Kerensky, and then a year later, boom, it was taken over by the communists. The English Revolution, which involved Oliver Cromwell versus Charles I. Charles I got executed. And when Cromwell died, they went back. And the revolution was incredibly bloody, but not consequential and final. We've had by far the most successful revolution ever. Because we won our independence. The end of the War of Independence was 1783. And the new government that was stood up some 4 years later with a constitution has lasted the entire life of this nation. There's nothing like it in the world. And in terms of making a case for constitutional government, for representative democracy, America has done that. And in terms of things that other nations do better than we do, sure. But there are all kinds of things you can mention that other nations are superlative at. I understand the schools in Finland are fantastic. Schools in Poland do very well. We don't have to be the best in everything. But I do think we remain the one place that most people in the world, and there's studies and polls that show this, would want to go. So that, I think, still earns the title of greatest nation on God's green earth. And what about the problem of race? There's a fascinating exchange that just occurred about white pride. Is there such a thing? Is that a factor in America's life? What makes you proud to be white? Do people really think like that outside of the woke community? We'll get to that and more coming up on The MedVet Show.
Your daily dose of debate.
You finally hit the bottom. You're sick. You need help.
Michael Medved.
Only a sick mind would do that.
Okay, work with my sick mind.
It's The Michael Medved Show.
You're out of your mind.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown, small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
At least 9 people are dead in a mass shooting at a light rail facility in San Jose, California. The suspected shooter among the dead as are employees of the Valley Transportation Authority, which runs the facility. That's according to the Santa Clara Sheriff's Office. California Democrat Congressman Ro Khanna saying it's an unspeakable tragedy.
These are some of the extraordinary public servants in our community. They keep the public transportation running, and it's just unspeakable, the horror that we have witnessed.
AAA is predicting that travel will be up 60% over last year over the Memorial Day weekend. More than 37 million Americans expected to travel more than 50 miles from home this holiday weekend. Las Vegas ranks as a top road trip destination. Meanwhile, Orlando is the top destination for air travel bookings. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Michael Medved show, things getting back to normal in Israel, according to all reports, and certainly the economy continuing to boom and to do well. And you can find out more about that and about what's going on in the crucial high-tech economy, which, by the way, helped to create the Iron Dome missile defense system. Because, yes, the United States invested in that and developed it alongside Israel, but most of the development was right in Israel's own national boundaries. Check it out at michaelmedved.com. Go to the banner for Our Crowd. This gives you a chance for crowdsourced funding and investment in high-tech startups all around the world, but headquartered in Jerusalem, and also with many operations in the United States. You can get a free newsletter. You can find everything out with no charge at all. Just go to ourcrowd.com at michaelmedved.com. Click on the banner. Okay, right now there is a great deal of discussion about white fragility. It's the name of a best-selling book. White supremacy, white guilt, white identity. What does that mean? Chris Rufo, who's been on the show a number of times, he has an affiliation with the Manhattan Institute in New York and with Discovery Institute right here in Seattle. Chris Rufo was asked a very provocative question. And he was on with Mark Lamont Hill, who was host of Black News Tonight. And he's been one of those people who's been leading the charge against critical race theory all around the country. The idea that basically your racial identity is a determining factor of who you are. He was asked a provocative question by Mark Lamont Hill. Listen.
What do you like about being white? What would you say?
I don't know. It's such an amorphous term. It's like a census term or a
can you do me a favor? Indulge me. Indulge me for one. Just, we're running out of time. Indulge me for a minute. I understand you see it as all these things, but you surely recognize that the world sees you as white. You know the world reads you as white. And if you were to ask me some things I like about being black, I could talk about cultural norms. I could talk about tradition. I could talk about the kind of commonalities I feel around the diaspora. If I were to ask you what, particularly if you're saying whiteness is a thing that is being constructed as negative and shouldn't be, name something positive that you like about being white.
Okay, that's a very, very tricky question. And I think that Chris Rufo was right to reject the premise. Listen.
There's a lot of documents that are floating around public schools that say things like timeliness, showing up on time, is a white supremacist value or a white value, white dominant value. Things like rationality, things like the Enlightenment, things like, objectivity. And these are very strange things to be ascribed to a racial identity. My view is that these are actually should be ascribed to every individual human being. Every individual human being, regardless of whatever racial category we impose on them,
That doesn't answer the question, though. You're making straw men about things that are ascribed to whiteness that you think are wrongfully ascribed to whiteness. I'm saying if whiteness isn't a negative thing, and there's something that you actually, and that whiteness actually shouldn't be constructed as all negative, name something positive about being, that you believe is positive about being white.
Again, I don't buy into the framework that the world can be reduced into these metaphysical categories of whiteness and blackness. I think that's wrong. I think we should look at people as individuals. I think we should celebrate different people's accomplishments. I don't buy into it. The reason I'm not going to answer your question is I reject that categorization. I think of myself as an individual human being with my own capabilities, and I would hope that we could both judge each other as individuals and come to common values on that basis.
Okay, good for Christopher. And the one thing that I would have added, I wouldn't have even gone into the notion of what critical race theory says being white means. It wouldn't even mention it. What do I like being about being white? My response would have been and would be, I don't think of myself as white. It never occurs to me, oh gosh, I'm so proud, I'm so happy I'm white. It's really something I love. I love being white. I consider myself and I do think of myself as Jewish. My parents were Jewish. My grandparents were Jewish. That's my cultural identity, if you want. And I think there are lots of people out there who are proud and think of themselves as Irish or German or Italian. You name it. Or black or Latino, who might be basically talking about a distinct ethnic identity. But to say that the category of being white, being of European descent, actually defines you, it's outrageous. Because it doesn't. And if I'm wrong, if there's somebody out there who thinks of yourself, who you look in the mirror in the morning and you say, oh, look at that pale face. Boy, am I happy I'm white. Boy, am I glad. And that makes me better than somebody else. I don't think there are many Americans. I know there are people who are neo-Nazis and Ku Kluxers, but that's a very, very small proportion of people in this country. More representative, Viola wrote in from Renton, Washington, and she said, I'm pretty much a history illiterate. I've purchased and I'm very much enjoying your whole history library. The problem is this. I don't know how to listen to the episodes in order. For example, the American Revolutionary War series has no indication which episode comes where for me to listen to a chronological history of the Revolutionary War. Do you have somewhere a chart that will give me a chronological way of listening to this whole wonderful collection? Thank you for your help. Yeah, we will do that. I don't think we ever put together a chart because these programs were created separately. In the Revolutionary War series, there should be information about the Revolution and the different dates of the Revolution. We begin the series in 1774 and then move through all the way till 1783, and dates are pretty clearly attached, but we will answer your question, Viola, and I'm glad you're enjoying the series. And for people who are interested in our history programs, or in our newly revived history podcast, In the Light of History, go to michaelmedved.com, become a Medhead member, and everything is half price. It's shockingly reasonable. It's just shockingly reasonable when you become a Medhead member, and that's shockingly reasonable, too. That's about 11 cents a day. When we come back, there's the kind of campaign solicitation that promises that if people donate to the candidate, he will provide them with a hunting license. What kind of hunting license? A hunting license to bag his opponent. Who's his opponent? Well, the opponent happens to be Liz Cheney. This is one of the more amusing, inventive, and sure to be controversial political fundraising appeals that you are likely to see this year. We'll get to it, part of the upcoming controversy with the Wyoming election. It'll be a very big one because Liz Cheney has a lot of Republican opponents. I think 7 of them at latest count. Meanwhile, you may have heard that Val Demings, who had been on Biden's short list for the vice presidency, she's the former police chief, and a tough police chief she was, of Orlando, Florida. She's running for Senate, and running for Senate against Marco Rubio. How will this former 28-year cop handle the issue of defunding the police? We will get to all of that and much more coming up on the MedVet Show.
Become a MedHead member today.
Michael, my wife and I are MedHead members, and we've listened to you for a year.
Commercial-free podcasts, commentaries, find out more at michaelmedved.com. 1-800-955-1776. The Michael Medved Show. That's 1-800-955-1776.
Even for Americans who've been successful in dodging the coronavirus so far, there's still a problem of pain. There are 100 million Americans who suffer from ongoing pain due to overexertion or exercise or just aging or the effects of everyday living, and Relief Factor can help. It helps exercise-related pain or general muscle aches and pains, and it certainly does for me. There are 4 key ingredients. Each one approaches the body's natural anti-inflammatory response function from different metabolic pathways. The 3-week quick start can show you how it works. It's just $19.95, 95 cents a day, less than a cup of coffee a day, much less for pain relief. Try Relief Factor. It has worked wonderfully for literally hundreds of thousands, and certainly for me. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, and order your own quick start. Nothing to lose but your pain, the whole world to gain. As the nation pivots from the Trump administration to the reality of the Biden administration, Americans seem divided as never before. What does our country even believe in common anymore? One organization that continues to stand for what America has always believed is the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College. This institute stands for the first things, the permanent things, for religious liberty, for freedom of conscience, for family, for limited government, for free markets, for our nation's Judeo-Christian heritage. Go to the website faithandfreedom.com, and you will see insightful, bold opinion pieces from the renowned faculty at Grove City College in Pennsylvania. See Mark Hendrickson's latest on GameStop, Wall Street, and the hedge fund manager. See John Sparks and former Deputy Attorney General Paul McNulty on impeachment. And take a look at our friend Paul Kinger's articles and speeches. There are lots of them. You can find all this and much more at the website of the Institute for Faith and Freedom. That's faithandfreedom.com. Again, faithandfreedom.com.
Join me, George Norrie, for the Worldwide Contact in the Desert Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to June 28th. Contact in the Desert is an epic weekend of adventure, jam-packed with exciting explorations into UFOs, ancient civilizations, AI, crop circles, forbidden archaeology, disclosure, and the newest evidence of ongoing contact, sightings, and leading-edge science. This amazing weekend delivers more than 130 presentations and special events showcasing 67 speakers from all all over the world with 2 extra weeks to view your favorite leading experts, including Avi Loeb with Clyde Lewis, Linda Moulton Howe, Paul Hellyer, John Lear, Russell Targ, David Childress, Doc Wallach, and more. With breaking articles in the New York Times and acknowledged naval sightings, and more importantly, the new release of classified documents on the day of the soft opening of Contact in the Desert, we are your source for inside information. Join us June 25th at contactinthedesert.com to get your tickets today. Make contact, contactinthedesert.com.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need. Just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email. advertise@gcnlive.com.
Michael Medved Show, Jeremy Steiner, pride of Hillsdale College, my forever producer on this radio show, got an interesting solicitation over the email, and it involved the upcoming election in Wyoming, where Liz Cheney is running for another term as a member of Congress. No, she's no longer in the congressional leadership, but she still is Wyoming's only representative in the House of Representatives. And Jeremy got an email addressed, "Dear Jeremy, Wyoming is known for its big and small game hunting practically year-round. So I'm issuing you this rhino hunting permit because I'm setting out to bag Washington's biggest rhino, Liz Cheney." And then they have an example of what the permit looks like. It says, "Rhino hunting permit issued to conservative fighter. Issued for 2021-22 season, bag limit, 1 rhino, Republican in name only. Will you accept this rhino hunting permit and join my team to take on Liz Cheney and send a true America First conservative to Washington from Wyoming? There's no excuse for Wyoming to send a Beltway insider and D.C. swamp dweller to Congress, but I can't do this without your immediate help. Liz graduated from high school inside the Beltway." Oh, no! Do you know why she graduated from high school inside the Beltway? Because she was living at home, and her dad happened to be Wyoming's one congressman for 10 terms. Yeah, Dick Cheney was a longtime leader of the House of Representatives, and he lived in Washington. So she lived with her parents, and she went to high school in Washington. Does that disqualify her? He says, "This is what we expect from a never-Trump D.C. swamp dweller. My name is Chuck Gray, and I am a pro-Trump conservative Republican, 2A champion and leader in my home state of Wyoming." He just got elected to the Wyoming legislature. "I am running to defeat Liz Cheney to ensure rhinos like her go extinct in our state. As the head of the Betrayal Caucus, Liz leads the pack of sellout rhinos who turned their backs on President Trump and you and on me. With Republicans well positioned to take back the House of Representatives in 2022, we can't afford to elect spineless rhinos who could jeopardize our American First Republican comeback," et cetera, et cetera. And then he asked for money. The idea of bagging your opponent, of hunting, he says, "By accepting this rhino hunting permit with your generous contribution of $45 or more," why $45? Because Trump was president number 45. "You're providing the resources to defeat the leader of the Betrayal Caucus in this crucial election for America First Republicans." Look, This guy's name is Chuck Gray, and there are a bunch of other candidates, some of them more prominent than Chuck Gray, but I think this is probably a successful way to get attention. It makes me wince a little bit to see someone talking about hunting and bagging a political opponent. Really? Really? Is that where we are? Email from Richard in Aberdeen, Washington. He says, as a Democrat, I listen to your broadcast because you're thoughtful in your approach to issues, even if I don't always agree on your policy stance. I do appreciate your attempt at presenting both sides. I'll have to agree with you on your disagree with you on your stance against having a bipartisan commission explore the January 6th insurrection. I believe it would be important to have such a commission because I think there are several unanswered questions besides just the exploration of Trump's involvement. I think that it's extremely important to ascertain what communications or lack thereof affected the delayed response to the insurrection. I would like to know why security was not adequate, and maybe more importantly, why it took so long to have the National Guard respond. I know there have been hearings, but I think it would be helpful for the American people to have all the information in one report with specific findings. The hearings are too politicized and are more for show than substance. I think it's important that we attempt to answer some of these questions by a neutral party so that safeguards can be put in place to prevent anything like this in the future. Although with today's politics, even that wouldn't be a guarantee. But I think the effort should be made. Keep up the good work. Richard, look, I'm sympathetic to what you're talking about. And I think that the objections that Republicans have is that this really has become already a partisan battle. And the way that the bill was structured, that Mitch McConnell is going to block in the Senate because they're not going to get 10 Republicans to vote for it, the problem with the bill is it gives the Democrats on the committee, the commission, the right to pick virtually all of the staff. And even though it's supposed to be five Republicans, five Democrats, Democratic chair, Republican vice chair, the point about all this, it's expensive, it's distracting. And I think we're already in the midst of some in-depth investigations. This is why we have an FBI. This is why we have a Justice Department. And I have some confidence in Christopher Wray, who is a great director of the FBI, who never had his integrity undermined at all during his service in the Trump administration. And we have Merrick Garland, who is a hero to many people on the left, is head of the Justice Department. I think that was a good choice for President Biden, and I think Merrick Garland was probably capable of doing a good job. But the idea of continuing this as a political issue front and center, I think only brings us back and back and back and back again to the two failed impeachments. And you know what? One of the reasons I think this entire thing is not really gaining the overwhelming public support that Democrats expected is because we had that second impeachment was all about January 6th. It was a disaster. It was a stupid idea to try to impeach President Trump less than 2 weeks before he was leaving office. If they had set up then at that time, let's bring up a commission that can investigate what happened and what went wrong, I think it would have been overwhelmingly approved. But instead, the Democrats were determined to impeach Trump a second time. That didn't work out. And I'm afraid that unless you can actually convince people that this is nonpartisan and has no political purpose, it's not going to work. I'll tell you something that did work, and it's surprising. It's a great film about America and a great film about Arkansas, which doesn't get much positive publicity. It's called Minari. It was Oscar-nominated and won some very important Oscars, Best Supporting Actress. Here is what the review says about this now widely available film.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
There's a remarkable new autobiographical film by the rising director-writer Lee Isaac Chung that tells the story of a Korean family in the 1980s that tries to plant and sustain a vegetable farm in rural Arkansas. It's called Minari. Now available for rent on various streaming platforms at a greatly reduced price.
What a wonderful day to be in the house of the Lord. If you're here with us for the first time, please stand. What a beautiful family. Glad you're here.
Yes, they're welcomed in the local church and by their deeply religious all-American neighbors, including a fervent believer particularly well played by Will Patton. The film is powered by some of the most remarkable performances you'll see this year. Rated PG-13 for intense scenes of family stress, danger, and illness. 4 stars for the gorgeous Minari, whose title refers to an old country vegetable that grows beautifully in rural Arkansas. And if your Korean language skills aren't up to snuff, the subtitles are pretty easy to read. And they're worth it. And yes, there is some dialogue in English, but most of it is in Korean. This is a very memorable film that I think it's safe to predict people will greatly enjoy. We have a letter that appeared in one of America's leading newspapers where the writer is giving up on humanity. I mean, literally, she's saying, I am sick and tired of living in a world full of ignorant, destructive, apathetic people. Why? Well, it has to do with dog poop. And we will get to that revelation tomorrow. We will also be talking about a super blood moon. We were supposed to be able to see it last night. There is an ancient biblical prophecy, we are told, that says that this super blood moon means the end of the world by the end of the week. We'll give you plenty of time, at least a day, which when we consider that tomorrow on the Michael Medved Show. And Carmen Best, remember her, great police chief for the city of Seattle? She's ready to tell the truth and give some of these shocking background details about that awful Chaz Chop extravaganza that was unworthy of this greatest nation on God's green earth.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. That's 800-633-1378.
10. Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MacTech carbine upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com. Keyword antibacterial or call 877-878-4203.